Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to the Dudes on Hockey Podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Happy New Year, dude.
Happy New Year to you, dude. I see you're wearing your River Kings jersey, a brand new jersey.
This is a new jersey, a outstanding gift from my father-in-law. Every time I go to Mississippi, got to come home with the new River Kings jersey. They actually have three jerseys, believe it or not.
Wow. So
this is the second one I have. I have my eye on the third one. Perhaps I'll get it next year.
It's got like a, it's got sort of like a crown feature on the sleeves and on the bottom of the jersey.
This is a good jersey. I like it actually better than the other one that I have. River Kings, saw them play the Louisiana Ice Gators in the Southern Pro Hockey
Ice
League.
Gators.
Oh, yeah, dude.
All right.
Nothing like New Year's Eve in Mississippi.
Southern Pro Hockey League.
Southern Pro Hockey League.
Is there a league lower than the Southern Pro Hockey League?
Perhaps.
Can you get called up to the Southern Pro Hockey League?
It might be the adult league that you play in.
It might be, yeah.
You had a game tonight, by the way.
At the Tank.
And how'd that go?
Not good.
What do you mean?
We lost. And I put the puck in our net.
What?
Yeah. Well, the puck was going in the net, and I stopped it on the goal line. It was going in, so it would have been a goal. So I stopped it, and I pushed it back to the goalie's pad. He was basically laying on his face trying to make this save. Guy had, not a breakaway, but it was maybe like a cross-ice pass, and the guy made a shot, and it trickled through. It was going to go in. I stopped it. I pushed it back to his pad. It bounced off his pad and went in.
So you Ryan O'Burned it?
I totally Ryan O'Burned it. Yeah, it was. And then I broke my stick, which was like 150
So then
bucks.
You Keith Ballard did it.
Yes, but I did. At least I didn't hit the goalie with my stick, but I did
break
it.
So you broke your stick. So not only did you score on your own team, but then you put yourself in the hole 150 bucks.
Yeah, because I broke it on the post because I was not happy with that. Yeah. At least I didn't like Bo Jackson it and like try to break it over my leg and not do it. I'm like, ow!
I'm not laughing at you, dude. I'm laughing at you.
Right. I'm not laughing with you. I'm laughing at you. Yeah. So that was not not fun. I guess you could say if I wasn't there, just the goal would have gone in a little bit quicker. But it was still a goal.
At least you slowed it down a little bit, dude.
Yeah, in a couple
extra
seconds.
Props for that.
Yeah, sort of.
Let me tell you a little bit about the game I went to, all right?
Yeah.
So right off the faceoff, there's a fight between the two teams' captains.
Nice.
And it was a pretty good fight.
It's like Jumbo versus Getzlaff, except not.
And as they're going down to the ground, as the fight is ending, the Ice Gators player is on the ground, and the River Kings guy just takes one last punch in his head. And once they're in the box, I mean, they were still going at it. Like, the Ice Gators guy went just completely, his last name was Hill. This guy goes completely bananas. Like, he's just screaming. And, you know, I'm like five rows from the from the penalty box, and we can hear everything. I, you know, just giving this guy an earful of every profanity you could think of. And the River Kings player turns around to the crowd and looks at us and basically makes the universal sign for this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's just turning and
the
pointing
ear
back.
Twirl.
Yeah, the ear twirl. And then just comes back and starts moving his hand like a talking mouth.
Oh,
and
my
is
God.
Just laughing at him.
Oh, my God.
And that's it.
That's so brilliant.
That was a great way to start the game. River Kings' worst team in the Southern Pro Hockey League, but somehow they managed to win 6-0. I'm taking all the credit in the world, dude. So nothing like a little hockey, a little down-home deep-fried hockey.
Yeah.
And I got my River Kings jersey to prove it, dude.
It's pretty sweet.
Yep. Speaking of pretty sweet, the Sharks have won 8 out of their last 10.
Yeah.
And find themselves sitting on top of the Pacific Division, a little bit of space between them and Dallas. And, you know, even though maybe it doesn't feel like it, if you look at RealNHLStandings.com. The Sharks are the best team in the Western Conference based on win percentage. Would you have believed me if I told you that?
No. I would have. I would think Chicago, because I think they have the most points. And
right. Or Vancouver.
Right.
Which is, you know, according to points.
Is win percentage just the number of games out of total they've won, or is it actually like number, like points per game that they've accumulated?
I think it's based on the games that you've played,
mm-hmm.
and then how many wins you have. It's
okay.
Just like win percentage in almost any other sport that doesn't do it by points.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So that's interesting to see. You know, when we went to New York, our vacation, which was a lot of fun, and we met EJ Raddick again and gave him a Dudes on Hockey t-shirt.
And we have a picture that I think is going to be on this podcast posting with EJ. And he said something really nice to us. He said, "This is a shirt I might actually wear."
That was a high compliment.
Yeah, which was pretty awesome. I appreciated the honesty. And the cool thing was, is he was not having a good day.
That
day was a very rainy day in New York, and it was cold and stormy. And I think he had trouble getting to the city. I know he doesn't live very close to New York, so he was not in the best mood, but he was still extremely gracious to us, and we talked to him for a few minutes before he recorded Angel Live, and at the end he's like, "Hey, do you guys want to come back tomorrow?" Which I thought was really, really cool of him.
Yeah.
So I guess we weren't like completely annoying.
we got the invite back. Unfortunately, we couldn't do it, but he offered to be on the podcast soon, so hopefully we'll be talking to EJ in a quick minute, dude.
Right.
You know, sometime in the next few weeks. Talking about the Sharks, maybe at the All-Star break or something like that.
But I did offer to meet him at Red Lobster, but he didn't take me up on that.
Shooter, you promised we're going to Red Lobster.
We're going to Red Lobster.
You promised.
Tell me, Shooter. Yeah, he didn't go to Red Lobster.
No.
Though, which is
there is a Red Lobster in Times Square.
Is it really?
You could have gone, dude. Get the cheese biscuit.
Oh.
I always think it's funny that there's Red Lobster and the Olive Garden.
In
there's
Times
always
Square.
A line out the door. All these great Italian restaurants. We went to this restaurant in Little Italy. It's called Lamella. And, you know, it's definitely... There's some Godfather connections there. There's no doubt about it. And you sit down, and there's not even they don't even ask you what you want. They come over, they hey, want a little pasta? yeah, I want a little pasta. And they bring you this mound of pasta, like three different kinds. Good bottomless wine, dude. That was a good trip.
Yeah,
and Peter
great.
Luger, of course,
great steaks,
king of steakhouses. But while we're in New York, the Sharks had two games at home against the Ducks and the Canucks, and didn't go so well, did it? No, we've got that first game against Anaheim that they dropped, which I think, you know, we were the most disappointed about that result. I mean, that's a team, you know, up until that point, the Sharks hadn't beat, you know, 0-3 against the Ducks, team just a cellar dweller right now. Although they've ironically caught a little fire in the last week since Bob Murray basically has threatened to trade everyone except for Solani and Koivu, of all people.
Yeah, those are the guys you want to build the team around. The guy, I mean, you know, I appreciate that he fought back, but the guy who had cancer and the guy who's 42 years old, those are the keepers.
That's why,
not the guy who won the Hart Trophy last year. And not the guy who's like 26 years old and in the prime of his career, Ryan Getzlaf.
Well, maybe he has no intention of trading any of them, and this was just to try and get a rise out of them. They've won two games in a row, whoop-dee-doo. But they did beat the Sharks. Then the Sharks play Vancouver at home. And I guess props for rallying back and tying the game.
They were down 2-0.
And they were able to get it knotted up, but then to lose in overtime and have someone like Andrew Ebbett score the game-winning goal was not a great feeling. It did give me a ton of confidence. The Sharks going to Vancouver in their first game of 2012, but they went up there and they got a win, dude.
Which is really good. That's a very encouraging sign that we could beat them. And then beat Anaheim, maybe not in the most impressive fashion ever, but get off the schneid against the Ducks. I don't know why they were snake, but it seems like Hiller had a great outing every time we would play them. So it's good that they could find a way to beat, the 30th best team in the 28th best team in the NHL.
And they were down 1-0 in that game too. And what I liked about that, and what they seem to have carried over into the last two games, is, you know, a poor start, and then they kind of steamrolled the Ducks the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dominating them and didn't really take the foot off the gas and beat them. You know, 3-1, and then, you know, a game against Columbus at home, which, you know, a 2-1 win over Columbus.
Yeah, that was a pretty boring game.
Pretty boring, you know. Curtis Stanford, amazing.
Yeah. What is it with that? He had a shutout, last night?
Yeah, he shut out the Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they don't want Thomas Greiss. That was the game, actually, that the Sharks did start Thomas Greiss.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really interesting, dude. That, you know, I think I expected, at least, that when that position came up in the last 2 weeks, that Nidamaki was a lock to get that start, since he's played zero zilch NHL games this year. What do you make of that decision? What, if you're reading the tea leaves here, dude, what do you make of that?
I if I'm reading the tea leaves, and maybe I'm looking into the second, third, and fourth order equations here, but that's saying that they're shopping rice. That's what that tells me.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they wanted to get rid of Ntamaki, maybe they don't think they can get rid of Ntamaki with his $2 million a year contract, which is actually probably a pretty fair assessment, all things considered.
Right.
But maybe they want to start Grice. Grice was a little shaky to start, but then really settled down and played well.
Maybe they were showcasing him for the team that was right there.
Maybe.
You know, seriously. The Columbus Blue Jackets. It's possible. Yeah,
that's the only thing I can think of, because if they wanted to keep Ntamaki and they weren't thinking of trading Grice, then why wouldn't you just start Ntamaki in that place? So I don't know what to make of this. For all I know, they just spun the Wheel of Fortune back in the locker room and it came up on Grice, and so he got the start.
At some point, if they're really planning on having Ntamaki stick with the team, you got to see him play an NHL game, right?
You would think he would actually play a game here and there, but you never know. The Sharks could actually just roll three goalies the whole year, because Ntamaki is going to be out next year anyway, almost regardless of what happens. You would think he would catch up with another team or take a gigantic pay cut, which seems a little unlikely. So maybe they're just saying, oh, Grice is the better goalie at this point. We're just going to go with him, and we're not even going to pretend that we're going to be able to get rid of Ntamaki.
The fact that Tyson Sexsmith is an AHL All-Star might possibly be factoring into this equation too, because, you know, maybe they don't feel so bad about shopping Grice. And if Ntamaki's a bust, then you've got one of the best goalies in the AHL just kind of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you don't have other young goalies down there waiting to take the slack from Sexsmith. You've got Sateri. You've got Stalock, who'll come back at some point. So the Sharks have some options here. But I just can't imagine that keeping three guys is going to be the reality for much longer.
The plan, yeah.
It just it doesn't seem like that's possible.
That's like plan C, not plan A or B, really.
How about the Washington Capitals game last night, which I think might have been one of the Sharks' best efforts of the whole year?
Yeah, I think you could say it was the best game of the year for the Sharks. That's certainly, although the seven goal beatdown of Tampa Bay was pretty fun.
But this is against a better team.
Yeah, this is against a good team.
Even though they were missing Backstrom and Green left the game again, you know, with another injury, to see Ovechkin be -3 and see them kind of dominate him, even though he got some chances to dominate him even strength and piss him off enough to make a run at Brad Winchester. You know, that's the Sharks functioning at a really high level. See Dan Boyle with 3 points. See, you know, all the guys contributing. You see that third line and the return of Torrey Mitchell. And Torrey Mitchell, boy, you know, to go from being a healthy scratch and having them replace him with Tommy Wingles, you know, who then just gets almost decapitated in the Columbus game. And then they end up, you know, bringing him back. And he plays his best game of the year by far. He was everywhere, and he was rewarded with a ton of ice time. I love seeing Jamie McGinn get 16 minutes ice time. You know, he's playing so well. That third line, you know, that looked like a key against Washington, dude. And I hope they can keep it up.
Yeah, and you look at scoring chances. There's a new guy on Fear the Fin called The Neutral, he's charting scoring chances, which has a definition, and there's some Fenwick numbers. You know me, I love the stats. So, but you look at the stats between these players, and it's just like Ovechkin was like terrible. Like you can look at the Corsi plus minus and the Fenwick plus minus. That's actually charted on another website. But you look at Joe Pavelski, he was like +15 Fenwick, which means like shots directed towards the net minus, you know, the shots you were on the ice against. And Alex Ovechkin was like -8. So, I mean, you know, and Carl Alisner -11, not good. Actually, Logan Couture, not good. But, you know, looking at some of those stats, you can see it was pretty dominating performance by the Sharks, especially against the best of the other team. And that's a really heartening thing to see. Sometimes you see, I mean, certainly I have many memories of Rick Nash just beating the crap out of whoever's on the ice for the Sharks and scoring goals. And it's nice to see that, you know, Semin -6, Fenwick, and Ovechkin minus eight Fenwick is nice. And their best guy on the ice was Jeff Halpern.
Yeah. So, you're not going to win if that's the formula, right?
And basically all I remember from Jeff Halpern is that he basically got hit by a truck named Douglas Murray, which was a huge hit.
How about Mark Edward Vlasic's goal?
Yeah, that was a beaut.
He's a very quietly a plus 20 this year.
That is
plus 20.
Usually hear about that when you hear a guy plus 20. And, you know, I read about, or I was reading an article, I don't know, it might have even been a Jamie Baker blog post or something about how Mark Edward Vlasic might get a Norris vote or two. You think that's a little bit over the top, a little hyperbole there? Yeah,
maybe from the Sharks broadcasters, but, you know, he's definitely going in the right direction. Looking at the growth of a player. I mean, he's got 38 games, he's a plus 20, and he's got 15 points. So let's say he gets to 30 points. You know, I think if you're going to get a Norris trophy votes, you've got to be in the 40s, right?
You got to be, I'd say 50s.
You got to be, if you're in the 40s and you're one of the best, because, I mean, I don't know. I'm not looking at stats right now, Matt D'Agostini, but is Chara in the 50s?
He has been.
Yeah,
but I think the year he won the Norris, he was.
So, okay, I'm going to look it up while we're talking. But, you know, I think if you're in the 40s, the high 40s, and your plus minus is like plus 30-something,
yeah,
and you're playing against the best of the best every night, then, yeah, you might get a vote or two. But let's not go crazy kids.
Let's not get
like,
nuts.
Mark Edward Vlasic is not one of the top three defensemen in the NHL.
I wouldn't go that far, but the fact is that he is asserting himself as a very good defenseman. And, you know, I know that we've been on the record saying that we were hoping he was going to turn over this new leaf. It appears the leaf has been turned, dude. I mean, this guy is solid now.
There's no, he's exited the realm of unknown, which is what we talked about with Torrey Mitchell. It's time to make it happen. It's time to pick your career path.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, either you're going to be a legitimate third line NHL player, or you're going to go the path of Ryan Vesey and, you know, Danny Gruel and play in, you know, limited roles and in the AHL, and you'll disappear. You know, but Vlasic has totally stepped up, a monster year so far defensively and contributing on the offensive end, and jump just to even see him near the blue paint, like, was a shocking sight.
Right. First 3 years of his career, very steady stay-at-home defenseman. You have Chara stats, dude. Did he ever get to 50 points?
Yeah, he did once, but but really the last 2 years, he's in the low 40s. So, but let's not get crazy. Mark Edward Vlasic is not going to be a Norris candidate. I never want to say ever, but.
Yeah,
I don't think he's quite that guy. He's more of a Brian Seabrook guy.
Right.
You know, he's...
Brent.
Sorry. Well, Brian, that's his brother, right? I don't think I made that up.
Or maybe you were going Brian Campbell, Brent Seabrook thing. I don't know what you're saying.
Okay. So anyways...
He's more like a Matt D'Agostini.
Anyways, dude, you know what I'm saying. You know, he's perfectly equipped to ride shotgun on the damn Boyle train. And
yep.
The pairing, sorry, crankshaft, you're not going to sniff any playing time with Boyle.
Yeah, it's
anytime
soon. That pairing is working well.
This is locked and loaded, dude. Locked and loaded.
It's good. Let's see, what else was I going to say? I was going to say something else. Oh, I was going to say that the next, you know, 6 weeks of the season are going to be the most important 6 weeks of the season, because this is the time where the Sharks go on the road. They're usually on the road for almost all of February. I think I remember the announcer saying that 18 of the next 20 games or something like that are going to be on the road for the Sharks. So they have a road trip this week. They're going to be a little bit at home the following week. And then it's basically going to be all road games. So not a bad road team, the Sharks, but this is one of those times where you could see, you know, a stumble in the row. You see a rock and you hit it. You know, this time last year, the Sharks had just lost six and we were like ready to shoot ourselves. And then they managed to pull it out and just get super red hot the rest of the year. Luckily this year, I don't think they have to be red hot through this season or the rest of the season to make the playoffs. But still, I'm a little worried about the next 6 weeks, because this is a time where this, you know, it could happen where the Sharks really sort of, you know, lay off the gas a little bit, or just, you know, run into some trouble being on the road all this time. And, you know, frankly, they're not that many points out of the playoffs at this point, you know, 4 or 5, if they drop 4 or 5 points, give up 4 or 5 points to other division rivals, they could actually be on the outside. So that's the only thing that I'm thinking about going into this next little bit.
I'm going to say, dude, I'm going the opposite here. I think they're going to continue on just a torrid pace. I think they're playing well. Their effort against Washington demonstrated it. These games that they're going into here, they're going to Minnesota. That team is not the same team that we saw last month. I mean, Minnesota is at a huge skid, and I think the Sharks are going to want to make a little bit of a statement in Minnesota. I don't care what they say. You know, I mean, for Burns, you know, I think they're going to want to win, and they're going to Winnipeg. That's a tough place to go in and play, but a beatable team. You know, they score a lot of goals. They give up a lot of goals. So if they're going to play the Sharks game against the Sharks, they should lose. And then you go to Columbus. I mean, those are this week. They could win all three of these games, and I'd love to see them go into Chicago like last time and beat them again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible, dude, that you could see in the next, then home against Calgary, home against Ottawa, win. You got to win both those games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have it in front of me, but I can't imagine that either of those teams are good road teams. I'm going to take a look right now. Watch me eat my own words. Yeah, 8-14-3 is Calgary's road record, and now 8-7-5 is Ottawa. So that means they're 8-12. So
yeah.
not great. You know, not great. I mean, the Sharks are on the road are 9-4-2. So a winning record on the road. But Edmonton essentially is 8-17 on the road. So, you know, those should be wins, dude. Those should be wins. I'm looking at the Winnipeg's home record, 14-7. So that's that's pretty darn good.
I think they have a bit of a fan base in Winnipeg. I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah, Minnesota 11-9 at home, not a huge advantage. I mean, that team now is 500. I mean, they've gone from being on top of the world to essentially being 21-21 if you count their overtime losses.
This is what we expected, right?
Right.
We didn't think that they could hold on to their crazy pace that they started.
No. So the Sharks have to keep pressing, because, you know, LA's been pretty good. You know, Sutter's been able to push the right buttons. They're 6-1-3 in their last 10. And they're going to continue to climb, while Dallas, I think, continues to fall. Dallas, 112 goals scored, 114 allowed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that team's usually been pretty solid defensively, and now, I mean, there's even been rumbles. I have the feed for the Dallas beat writer. There's been rumbles of, was this coach the right choice? Like the guy they brought up from the minors.
Mm-hmm.
Was this really the right guy? So, I mean, if they miss the playoffs, this guy might get canned 1 year out.
Yeah.
You know?
It could easily happen. Well, I think the Sharks are in a good place. They're certainly in a better spot right now than they were at this time last year.
Sure.
That's for sure. So I'm trying to revel in it. And you do see some pick up a lot of those players. So, dude, let's talk about some other NHL news.
Okay.
Well, the realignment story is maybe the big story of the week. So maybe we should talk about that. I know we talked about it on the podcast as if it was sort of a done deal when it came out. You know, the four conferences, 2 with 8 teams, 2 with 7 teams, and, you know, no more division play, but you're going to play every team away and home at least once a year so you can see every team in your own building, which I think, you know, most fans sort of supported it. It seemed like most pundits supported it, and certainly the GM supported it because they were the ones that sort of voted on it. But now it seems like the Players Association have thrown a wrench into the whole works, and the way it stands now, it doesn't appear like that's actually going to take effect next year.
No, I think it's a lock that it's not going to. From what I read, the NHL has said it's too late now. Like, because they wouldn't approve it, they can't go forward with that schedule and go forward with those plans, and the divisions and conferences will stay as is, you know, for next season, the 2012-2013 season. This is not a good sign in terms of the collective bargaining agreement negotiations that are going to be forthcoming, dude.
Mm-hmm.
This actually concerns me a lot that Donald Fehr is, you know, playing mine is bigger than yours here and saying, you can't tell us what to do, and we will not approve this, and we want to have a say in what's going on before you make these kind of decisions. And it makes me nervous, dude. It really does, about where these negotiations are going to go.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I don't think this bodes well for the next labor negotiations. But on, by the same token, I do feel... I feel like it's an understandable move by the Players Association. They wanted a sample schedule, how this might affect things, because I think certain people thought there actually wouldn't be that much of a travel benefit to the Western teams. And the league said, nah, we're not going to do that. You know, I mean, they basically asked for some things, and the league just said, nope, no thanks. We're not going to provide you with what you guys want.
Right.
And so the Players Association say, okay, two can play this game. We're not going to give you what you want. So I sort of respect the players to stand up, because, you know, for the past maybe... since the huge Allen Eagleson debacle that happened in the early 90s, late 80s, you know, those of you, you know, Google it, read it on Wikipedia. Basically, the leader of the Players Association was essentially embezzling from the retirement fund. I mean, the whole union just was devastated and decimated by that whole thing, and was, you know, in a bad spot for 10 or 15 years, basically through the last lockout, essentially. Not a very powerful union. And so, you know, maybe the union is actually trying to, you know, gain some stones here a little bit, which I think actually could be a good thing for the game. So we'll see. We'll see. And, you know, to be honest, when you think about their demands, you know, the conferences that have seven teams, which happen to be all of the most popular teams on the East Coast. How about that? They're all going to have a better chance of making the playoffs every year, right, than a team like the Sharks and the Flames and so forth. But, you know, New Jersey and the Rangers and Pittsburgh and Washington and Montreal, they're all going to be in seven team conferences. So, you know, more than 50% of the teams in those conferences are going to the playoffs. So I understand that gripe. It does seem a little, the deck seems to be a tad bit stacked if you look at it that way. So
yeah, I see what they're saying. It just I wonder about the prolonged silence on this. Like, why didn't they voice their concerns immediately, you know, instead of just waiting here till the end? I think the way that they went about it was a little dramatic in order to just sort of plunge the knife into the owners at the last second so that they would have to call off all plans. And I'm sure that they had spent and wasted so much time and money on making these plans, and now it's just gone.
Yeah. Right.
So I hope that they're going to be a little bit better communicating both sides as we go forward. And, you know, we've seen two labor stoppages in 2011. You know, we saw the NFL and we saw the NBA, you know, come to a grinding halt. And I remember the lockout, you know, back, this was 8 years ago, right?
Oh, five.
And that sucked.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, it was a bummer. And fortunately, actually, I was out of the country, so I didn't miss it that much. But
if it happens next year, we're going to be in a world of hurt.
Oh, it's going to be sad. What the hell are we going to talk about, dude?
Yeah, we'll stop the podcast.
I'll tell you what: if there's a labor stoppage, we're not stopping. we're going to keep talking, dude.
I don't know about what.
I don't know.
We'll follow the River Kings.
My daughter's poopy diapers.
I'm sure our fans really require that.
They will be riveted at that, dude.
Dude, I'm going to look for emails, although I don't think we got any.
I don't think so either. It's been pretty quiet over the holidays. Understandable that people have been rejoicing with their families, dude.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any other topics that maybe we haven't covered. I mean, we discussed Mitchell's healthy scratch. Wingles is back up. Colin White is on the IR. So...
Dude, you know, what about New Year's resolutions?
Oh.
Do we have any?
Personal ones?
Well, anything you want to share on the podcast?
New Year's resolution. Gosh, I guess I always say this, but I want to try and watch more games of teams from the Eastern Conference. Like, I feel like, you know, going in and playing a team like Winnipeg. I think I've watched them play half a game this year, like if that. Like, I know the team, I know the players on that team, but I haven't seen them play. So I feel a little undereducated, dude.
Yeah.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Well, I did have one to not put the puck in my own net, but I kind of blew that one already. So much for that, right? Any podcast related, any things that we want to resolve to do on the podcast this year, dude?
I have made it a goal, and I'd like to think I've done a pretty good job of that tonight. I want to stop saying
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know? I hate it when I go back and listen
right.
to the podcast and I hear that
it's true.
I don't like it. What about your podcast resolutions?
That's a good one. I might try to do that. I used to write on my pad of paper. I used to write the things that I would say and I put like a big X through it. So I would look at the pad and then I would think to myself not to say that, which works actually some of the time. I think I did better those weeks when I wrote it down. So I tend to say I mean a lot. That's my thing.
Okay.
So maybe I wish maybe some listeners can point out when I say I mean or terrible things like that, although that could open a whole can of worms. But actually, if you have any good ideas for us to have resolutions for the podcast, feel free to email them to us. Yeah. Questions at Dudes on Hockey. I guarantee nothing. I don't guarantee that we'll take any of them, but maybe there might be some good ideas out there of things that we should do. One thing, I feel like we've gone downhill a little bit this past year with interviews. We used to talk to people quite a bit on the show, and talking with EJ Raddick at the NHL store sort of made me think about,
is that a resolution?
Maybe we should try to do a little bit more of that this year. So yes, I think that's going to be a resolution.
Okay. I mean, that's a good idea.
Even if we just like talk to your wife or something, we just call her on the phone.
She's
like, hey, what's going on? And we say, yeah, we got you on the podcast. We're talking about the Sharks. And she's like, great. Okay.
Click.
Will you be home later? And we're like, yeah, okay.
You have not finished painting the baby's room. Get home. Why are you still at Mike's? Dude, I can tell you right now, that's not a good idea. Let's not make that phone call.
Okay.
Because then you're just going to hear about all the stuff I haven't done.
Yeah, that wallpaper ain't going to hang itself. All right, dude. I think we're about at the end.
All right.
And so hopefully we can resolve not to become the Pittsburgh Penguins and lose all of our top players to injury.
Ooh, boy. Season over.
That's too bad because they've been playing awesome, without a lot of those guys.
Yeah, if they can hang on until Stahl and Neal come back, I mean, I suppose that it's not a total death sentence to a playoff berth, but you can't even guess as to when Crosby's coming back, and the silence on Letang has been just deafening. I mean, that's mm-hmm. just so sad to see a guy who's really turning in, talk about a Norris Trophy,
yes, absolutely
caliber defenseman, and his career, or at least his season, being in jeopardy. We've seen some players bounce back pretty fast. I mean, Shea Weber's back now.
Saw Giroux come back quickly.
Giroux is back. So some guys have been able to come back a little bit quicker from the concussion business. But these seem like they're pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I wish the Penguins luck because I have them in the playoff pool.
Which is shaping up pretty good. It looks pretty even right now. So I have Washington and Boston, and you have Chicago and the Pens and the Rangers. No, I have Chicago. And you have
your best Rangers. Teams right now are Chicago. You have Boston. You have Philly.
Mm-hmm. But you have Vancouver.
I have Vancouver. I have the Rangers, and I have the Red Wings. So
yeah,
you know, it's looking pretty good. It's looking pretty even. Neither of us have Florida, but Florida actually is cooling off a little bit. So
shocking. All right, dude.
All right, dude. Let's have an undefeated week so we can come back and talk about how the Sharks just completely skunked everyone. And I'm calling it, dude. I'm saying Sharks get 7 points in these four games before we talk next week.
Nice, dude.
All right.
Book it.
Later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.